Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
I also tried, you know, when she asks for stuff, like, come on, you know, you're in a store. They put, like, everything they see into the cart, and you're expected to buy it. And so I always say to her, I'm like, do you want mommy to work more and see you less so we can get all that? And then she takes, like, everything out of the cart. It's so cute. Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast. If you're listening on a smart speaker or website, make sure to find me on your favorite podcast platform like Apple Podcasts, Google, TuneIn, and Stitcher. We're momming today about going back to work, particularly after moms leave the workforce to raise their kids. Fidelity has started a program called Resume that seeks out individuals who may have taken a career break and then are looking to resume a job in financial planning. We have Rachel Book, the Director of Diversity Recruiting Strategies at Fidelity. You're in charge of this program. And Julie Herman is a participant in the program. Julie, I want to talk with you first. You're a boy mom, mom of three boys. You used to work at Fidelity. You left the company to raise your sons for, what, 7 years? And now you're back.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So I took a break after actually the third son was born. It was an interesting time for me. I had been working. I had a 4-year-old and a 5-year-old at that time. And the thought of not only having three small boys at home, but also knowing that that was going to be the last, baby that I had, and that this was an opportunity that was, never going to be an option for me again. I sort of reevaluated my priorities and decided to take some time off.
So what were you doing before you decided to leave? And when you left, did you ever think you'd be going back, or was that up in the air?
Oh, no. It was a very deliberate decision to take 7 years off. The thought being that I would wait until our youngest son was in full day school. And no, Lauren, I didn't have a son in full day school yet. So I didn't really understand how the commitment sort of evolves as your children, get older. But no, it was
well,
a
meaning
plan.
It's got harder or easier.
It changes as your children get older. I remember, after I became a stay-at-home mom and I had, three little ones and, one's a baby and I'm exhausted all the time, I was talking with a mom she was a stay-at-home mom and her kids were older. And I was like, what do you do all day? And she just looked at me and rolled her eyes and said, just wait. Because it's not that your children need you less. It's just the way in which they need you evolves over time.
They need you differently. But see, that's the question, though, because after, let's say, you do school drop-off, you do have the bulk of your day, and then you're really busy with school pickup and activities when you're basically mm-hmm. like a chauffeur. So you kind of have the middle of your day to yourself.
You do, and I think that's it's an interesting dynamic because you realize there's only a few hours there, right? As a stay-at-home mom, where you're like, all right, now I'm trying to get everything else done. And for our family, I tried to do everything so that in the evening we could really spend as much time, going to events or the kids' games or whatever it was together. So it was like, all right, I've got to get all the housework done, pay the bills, do the volunteering.
Oh, I hear you.
Yard work done, So it's,
and then it becomes, Julie, because you're not working, it's like, oh, well, mom can do that because she doesn't have a job. So she has plenty of time on her hands. So you wind up probably taking on more responsibilities than you'd ever imagine.
But that was the hardest part for me, honestly, going from a working mom to a stay-at-home mom. I felt like, all right, I'm not contributing to the family in a monetary fashion anymore. And so I have to justify that by doing everything, you know, like the dinner has to be perfect and on the table and the house has to be clean. And all of the, that was literally the biggest challenge, because when you're working, you deliberately set up time, right? You're like, I have vacation today, and that means I'm not going to do XYZ, or it's the weekend, I'm not going to. But as a stay-at-home mom, I felt like I had to constantly be establishing my own value because I wasn't contributing monetarily to the family anymore.
What's harder, stay-at-home moms or working moms?
Everybody's working so hard, right?
For it's you personally, though. I mean, I remember when I was on maternity leave the second time, I really couldn't wait to get back to work because I was so much more productive in everything. Because it was, you know, 8, 10, 12 hours of just silence. Sometimes, you know, myself in an office, I could actually pay some bills or read something that I was supposed to read. Whereas at home, it was just nutty.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so true. It's interesting what you miss when you transition between those sort of different ways of working. I missed the time in the car. I actually missed my commute because it gave me 45 minutes of that quiet time where I could decompress. And after I was staying at home, I was like, there's always somebody with me all the time. I will say it was an easier transition for me coming back to work than it was going from a working, I'm sorry, I don't like the term working mom because I think everybody's working.
Okay, but I like that. What do you want to call it then? What do you want to call a working mom?
I like working out of the home or working outside of the home because I think that, you know, it gives some recognition to the fact that everybody is working really hard at being a parent. It's just, how are you prioritizing your time?
Well, stay-at-home moms actually work harder because they don't outsource as much. I feel like when you're working,
yeah,
you have to have people do things for you because you're not physically there to do it, that in some ways it gets a little bit easier to be a mom.
Yeah. Well, and as a stay-at-home mom, you get to choose how you spend your time, right? But you may have more priorities that you're sort of stacking against that time. So I do like the, are you working outside of the home or not? Or, you know, I like to say, well, I'm gainfully employed now. I've got a different set of benefits than what I had.
I want to bring in Rachel here.
Yeah.
Rachel Book is the director of this program. Also a boy mom, right? You have two sons, Rachel?
I do.
You are a working outside the home mom, I take it?
Yes, except for today. I happen to be doing my outside-the-home job inside my home.
Okay. Okay, how's that going? Any distractions?
No, love the flexibility.
Awesome. So did you know Julie before, in her first stint at Fidelity?
I did not. I joined more recently, but we were so excited to hear that she was interested in coming back to the program.
So when did this program start? What was the impetus? Just tell me a little bit more about this program, because the way I had heard of it was one of the financial analysts was on the Fox Business set, and he was telling me how his wife was so excited about going back to work, and they have a family Snapchat, and she was shopping and snapping pictures of, like, her work outfits, like a little kid, basically, like, so excited to go back to school, and sending them to her son and daughter, just saying, like, I can't wait. Am I going to look okay? What do I wear? And I just saw the joy that those stories brought to him. I was like, I need to reach out to Fidelity and learn more about this.
Yes. Yeah, so it's a great program. We started it about 5 years ago. It's actually a global program that we run in the U.S., but also in India and Ireland. We run it across different lines of business. So we've got financial analysts, financial planners, but we also have technologists and operations folks coming back to the workforce. It started out where we just placed people, you know, on a one-off basis, but it's now evolved into a program that we call Resume. And so what we do is we identify the hiring needs from our various business units, and then we recruit talent to come in for a six-month paid, almost like an internship program, where we provide them with training, with skills refreshing, with mentorship, to help them reactivate their skill sets, their confidence, their technology. And then at the end of the 6 months, either they get extended or we hire them full time. So that's how the program runs in a nutshell.
Do you have a percentage of those that are hired full time after the program?
Yes, yeah, so approximately 70% stay beyond the 6 months, which would be considered an extension. And then the conversion rate to full-time employees, somewhere around the 45 to 50% mark.
And is everyone paid the same when they're in the program?
No, so it is somewhat different. So we have different levels based on the job itself and based on the location. So really similar to how companies would build out compensation for traditional jobs.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So Julie is a mother. Would you say most of the applicants are mothers, or is it a wide range of people that are interested?
So it's a wide range of people. So our eligibility criteria for the program is that people have to have taken a two-year career break, a minimum two-year career break, for personal reasons. So we find that many of our resumers, as we call them, have taken extended career breaks to raise families. Some have taken time off to care for elderly parents. We have one resumer who actually took 22 years off from the workforce because she followed her spouse to Asia and Europe for his career.
Oh, wow.
This year, we have four men in our program, which is awesome. So a variety of reasons, but they all have to be intentional career breaks for personal reasons.
Got it. When you are accepting, let's just do mothers first. When you are accepting women who decided they needed a break to raise their children, what skills do they have that not all candidates have, or not all Fidelity workers full-time have, that they learned from doing work in the house with the kids?
So that's a great question. I always joke with our hiring managers when I socialize this program inside Fidelity that these candidates, especially the moms who've taken time off from work, they have not been on their couches watching Netflix during their career break.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Running nonprofits. They've been volunteering at hospitals. They've been PTA presidents. They've been multitasking. Many of them are entrepreneurs and have started their own businesses. So they've done a lot of really impressive work during their career break. I think the other aspects that we value is the professional maturity, the loyalty and commitment, right? When they're ready to come back, they're like, I really want this. And then the fresh perspective that they offer is incredible, right? And that's real diversity. So those of us who've been sitting in conference calls and in meetings day after day after day, we lose that fresh perspective. But someone like Julie, who's been out for 7 years, she might be sitting in a meeting and she might be thinking, hey, why are you doing it this way? And she'll ask a question and she can add new perspective that we wouldn't have had otherwise.
Give me an example, like where Julie or someone would say, hey, like in the real world, it doesn't work like that, or this product would be better because. Do you have like one example that you could share?
So, you know, it's interesting. I don't know that I have an example about a product, but I remember a scenario where there was a team and they were involved in some, it was like an IT product launch, and there were lots of people in rooms in meetings, and they were figuring out how to create this IT system rollout with a communications plan. And our resumer had, you know, she was listening in and she was relatively new to the process. And she said, wait, I think you can skip these four steps. And what if we do the communication in advance and then we can, you know, run this macro in Excel and, you know, make it a lot easier. And the hiring manager sent me a note and said, oh my gosh, this resumer has like, it's totally worthwhile just from this meeting today.
Yeah.
So,
you know, go ahead, finish your thought.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
We just see a lot of those experiences. And what we try and do is we make sure that we create an environment where our resumers, where our returners feel comfortable asking questions, right? We tell them this is a safe space. Don't feel like it's a dumb question. We really want to hear your observations.
Julie, did you feel after a 7-year break, how nervous were you? As much as you craved that commute because it was quiet, how nervous were you to go back to work, to have an alarm clock and, you know, a boss and all that?
I think that it was even just getting into the interview process. It was a nerve-wracking sort of decision because it's a big life choice. Right? And a huge change. But the great thing about this program too is it's set up to start as a 6-month, return to work, almost
training.
Like an internship, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that actually made it a lot easier for me. So,
because you knew you had an out. If you didn't like it, or if you weren't good at it, or if they didn't think you were a good fit anymore.
Or if it
no
didn't work
lost.
Out for the family, too, right?
Right.
I mean, that was probably my biggest concern. I knew that I loved Fidelity, and I knew that at some point, I mean, my plan had always been to come back to Fidelity. So the timing of this program for me personally in my region was fantastic. It was literally 2 months before my youngest started first grade. So it was great, but Lauren, at some point in time, I told him, you know, mom's going back to work. And he said to me, well, who's going to take care of me then? And I was like, I was a mess.
I remember distinctly when my mom went back to work. I think I might have been in third grade. My brothers, I think, had just started kindergarten. And my response was, but mom, who's going to buy me clothes every day? Because she would always go shopping with our neighbor. I was like, I'm not going to get presents every day. I'm so selfish. But I remember I was really proud of my mom when she went back to work because I knew she loved it. And she gave it up for us. And then she was able to do both.
Yeah, right? Like we make it work. But knowing that it was a 6-month commitment, let me figure out if it was going to work for me, if it was going to work for Fidelity, and if it was going to work for my family. So it was a very... As Rachel said, it's a safe place to come into, and the way Fidelity has it structured, it's a welcoming environment, and it gives you opportunities that you might not otherwise be able to find coming off of a long break like that, right? So a lot of the women that I started back with in my resume cohort, we had been looking for work for a long time because there's so many automated programs where you're submitting your resume and algorithms are saying, well, you know, you haven't worked for 7 years, you haven't worked for 10 years, and you don't even make it to an initial interview.
It's not like you're dead. You just need a little bit of a refresh on your skills. And you would think that in a tight labor market, and companies are always saying we cannot find the skill set in job applicants for what we need. But it begs the question if they're just not looking in the right places.
Exactly. And I consider this an untapped talent pool, right? So when you look at some of the statistics, so men and women enter the financial services industry at equal rates, but women leave for a variety of reasons. When you look at technology, so women are graduating with computer science degrees now at around 16 to 18%. Well, in the late 80s, it was closer to 37%. So what we're saying is, hey, these women have not fallen off the face of this earth. They've left the workforce. Our traditional recruiting process is not making it easy for them to come back. So we need a program like this that embraces their career gap and provides a customized program to help them reactivate those skills and experience. And then their careers accelerate faster.
Have you found that Fidelity is a leader in this space, or other companies looking to your model and copying it?
Yeah, so our model is unique because our program is 6 months. So many of the programs I've seen out there are more aligned to a college internship, like 10 or 12 weeks. The other thing that we do that's really unique is we think about the role in advance. So when we go to our business leaders and we collect their demand to host a resumer, what we say is think of a position or think of an opportunity that's most likely to continue beyond the 6 months. Because if all works out well, we want to welcome the resumer into the Fidelity family full time.
Got it. Got it. And as we wrap this up, Julie, you've kind of enlightened me a little bit on this podcast. You know, it's not a working mom, it's a working outside the home mom, and some other things that you've said. If you can just tell me about how you explained you deciding to go back to Fidelity to your children. Because, I think we often get that question, Mom, why can't you come? And then you have mom guilt, or Mom, why can't you pick me up? Or Mom this, why are you working? How did you settle that with your children?
So I have a 7-year-old, a 12-year-old, and a 13-year-old. So we had a couple of different conversations. And with the older boys, it was about, what we might be able to do differently, with me going back to work and with them, being as busy and active as they are. But just the ways that it benefits our family for us to have two parents that are working from home. Mm-hmm. And then for my younger son, it was more about just reassuring him that we were still going to be there for him, right? So the monetary benefits didn't necessarily translate as well for a 7-year-old, but just knowing that, because my older sons still have some recollection of me, being a working mom, but for him, I had always been there for him. So to let him know that, just because Mom was going to be maybe at an office, just like Dad was during the day, that doesn't change our relationship or the fact that we'll always make sure that he's well cared for.
Yeah, and I say it just because my daughter gets upset when I go to work, and I have a daughter, not a son, and I think that's slightly different. So, and I don't know if this is the best answer, but what I usually say is I say two things. I'm like, Mommy goes to work because Mommy's really good at her job. It's like, Mommy studied really hard. I make her seem like, have a dream, you can achieve it. So she doesn't look at work as a bad thing, that she feels empowered by what I'm doing. And then I also try to, when she asks for stuff, like, come on, you're in a store. They put like everything they see into the cart and you're expected to buy it. And so I always say to her, I'm like, do you want Mommy to work more and see you less so we can get all that? And then she takes like everything out of the cart. It's so cute. So those are my two little strategies.
Oh, Lauren, I am so going to employ that.
So ladies, so good to talk to both of you. I really appreciate this conversation. I hope we inspired some other moms out there who are kind of deciding what they should do to think about this program.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Thank you.
Bye, Rachel. Bye, Julie.
Bye.
Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.